turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Have many things scheduled for tonight. I'll give you the schedule and then we will try to adhere to it as close as possible. I'm going to preach on this one phrase tonight and have that wrapped up by 7:25, at which time we can go to our prayer time. I'd like to have that completed by 7:40, and then have the Lord's Supper and have that completed by 8:05. And at that point, we will have a hymn so that we can dismiss those that would like to leave. And we'll start the soul-winning course at 8 o'clock and try to finish that up by 8:25. And then we'll have another two-minute break, and then we'll have a brief church meeting. So I determined to get all those things in by 8:45 to not keep you any later than we would have kept you for the soul-winning class overall. So here we go. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that as we study the Word of God, that we might understand what it teaches and be better able to know the mind of God and what the Lord teaches us and be able to do it and be blessed by Thee. We pray, Lord, if there's somebody here doesn't know Thee as Savior, they might see that they're lost and come and get saved tonight. We pray, Lord, that Thou will bless all of our time together in our prayer time and the Lord's Supper and the soul winning our church meeting. We just trust Thee for a blessing tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth the fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Now, you know, when you read a passage of Scripture like this, and you read a parable, and you see these things, and you ask yourself the question, I wonder what it means. Well, what is he getting at here when he gives this parable? And so, one of the important keys for us as we read these parables and we seek to understand the truth of these parables is to understand what he is speaking about when he speaks of the kingdom of God. Verse 26 says, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man cast seed into the ground." Now, I'm not going to explain this parable tonight because there is not time. I'm going to spend the time on the kingdom of God. Because if you have an understanding, if you know what is meant by the kingdom of God, then as you read these parables, you will have an easier understanding of what is meant. Now, you will, if you would read this, this corresponds and is very close to Matthew chapter 13. If you were to read both of those, you would see some similarities. And you would see the phrase in Matthew chapter 13, "the kingdom of heaven." And in Mark you see "the kingdom of God." Well, those two terms are virtually the same. They are virtually the same. Not exactly, but most of the time. We may say, "God watches over us." We may use a phrase like that. Or we might say, "Heaven sees our every move." Meaning that God sees us. And they're similar. Then we might say, "Heaven sees our every move," or "God is watching over us." And they are virtually the same, aren't they? They're just different ways to say pretty much the same thing. As a matter of fact, it's good literature to vary the synonyms so that they are not always the same. So the terms are used interchangeably, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Don't get confused about that. Now, what is the kingdom of God as we see it in the New Testament? There are actually three different forms of the kingdom of God. And this is why we get confused at some of these parables and the meaning of these parables, that we do not understand that there are three different forms of the kingdom of God. The first is the spiritual kingdom, the second is the millennial kingdom, and the third is the mystery form of the kingdom. And so I'm going to go through those with you, each one of them. The spiritual kingdom of God. That is the saved, people who are saved from all the ages. That is the spiritual kingdom of God. How do we know that? The Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that tell us? That only the born again see the kingdom of God, and that the kingdom of God then is made up of born again people. That is the spiritual kingdom. Now the word kingdom is quite important to our thinking also. It should be seen as authority or reign rather than thinking of the subjects or the property. Let me explain that statement. We may look at a great tract of land, maybe a huge island like Great Britain, and say that tract of land is a kingdom. Or we may look at all the people living there and say that is a kingdom. But the word carries more weight in the New Testament kingdom, thinking of the person who has authority over all of that, or who reigns over that tract of land or that island or whatever it is. It is the authority over it, or the reigning over it by the king, is more fitting to the use of the word kingdom in these parables. So the spiritual kingdom is that he reigns over all the saved, all those who have been saved, all those who are saved and alive today on earth are in that kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of God then. Everyone who's ever been saved and everybody who presently is saved is in the spiritual kingdom. Then there is a second form of the kingdom of God. When we see the word kingdom of God, it could also mean, number two, the millennial kingdom. We've spoken much about this. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But this is that time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to the earth and is crowned a king, and he is king over all the earth, and he reigns over the earth with authority for 1,000 years. It says in the book of Revelation, and they lived and reigned 1,000 years. 1,000 years and millennium, they mean exactly the same thing. The Old Testament speaks much about the kingdom of God, especially in the book of Isaiah. It tells us much about what the kingdom of God in that time will be like. So there's 1,000-year reign that is also called the kingdom of God. So here we have one form, a kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. That's a spiritual kingdom of God. Then there is the actual on-earth government for 1,000 years, kingdom of God, called the millennial kingdom. And so, then we come to the third form that's also used as a kingdom of God, and this is the mystery form of the kingdom. Chapter 4, verse 11, mentions a mystery. Notice it. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parable. There is a mystery form of the kingdom. I'll give you the definition of what the mystery form of the kingdom is. It is the Lord's ultimate reign over all the earth, from his first advent to his second advent. It is his ultimate reign over all the earth from his first advent to his second advent. That's different than the church age. The church age fits in there and takes up most of it, but it is different. It's from when Christ first came to earth until He comes again, not at the rapture of the church, but when He comes again and He sets foot on the earth and He crushes the forces of wickedness and sets up His own kingdom. That's the mystery form. That is the time length of the mystery form of the kingdom. But that's called the kingdom of God because Almighty God has the ultimate rule over everything that's going on. That's why. Over everything. He has rule as much over the lost as He does over the saved. Now, the Word of God says that Satan is the prince and power of the air. This is true, but he's not king over a whole kingdom. He cannot overrule God. He can only wreak havoc or cause things that the Lord allows him to cause. The Lord has rule over all the earth. Man and nations have rule over the earth, but likewise they cannot overrule God because He has the ultimate rule. He has the rule over all. Nothing can be done in which He is not Lord of all. He raises nations and He puts down kingdoms. So, this is the mystery form of the kingdom, and this is from the Lord Jesus Christ when He first came through the church age, through the first 7 years of the day of the Lord, until the Lord comes again. The kingdom then has saved and lost in it. Now this is where it's important. It's important we understand that as you're reading the Bible and you want to know what He's talking about when He says the kingdom of God, when you realize that there is a kingdom of God, except a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. You realize there is a kingdom of God, that He reigns over the saved and He reigns over the lost both. It is easier for us to understand the parables than when we understand that. Turn to Matthew chapter 13 and let me show you all three forms of can be seen in one of these parables here. Matthew chapter 13. Let me first read verse 41 and 42. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, how do you know which kingdom He's talking about? The way you know a lot of things in the Word of God, you read what it says, and you understand it in the light of what else it teaches. For instance, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, they shall gather out of His kingdom the things that offend. If you're part of the spiritual kingdom, it couldn't be the spiritual kingdom because there's nothing offensive in those that belong to the spiritual kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken all their offense on Himself. And so this has to be the mystery form of the kingdom. And cast them into the furnace of fire. Well, naturally, the saved, those that belong to the spiritual kingdom, are not going to be cast into the fire. This, obviously, is the mystery form of the kingdom. Now, all three forms can be seen in this parable. Let me show you each. Verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's got to be the spiritual kingdom, those that are born again. Verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. This has to be the millennial kingdom. The righteous shall shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. That's the 1,000-year reign. And we looked at verse 41 again. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend. That takes place at the end of the tribulation period. Verse 43 takes place in the beginning of the millennial kingdom. So there we have the mystery form of the kingdom. It is important that we understand that God rules over the saved and the lost. But He calls the kingdom of God, those that have been saved belong to the spiritual kingdom of God. The millennial kingdom is a time yet future, but there is a kingdom of God now that He reigns over all the world, saved and lost. What is the kingdom of God? Number one, there's the spiritual kingdom. Number two, there's a millennial kingdom. Number three, there's the mystery kingdom. And the information in the passage lets us know which kingdom He is speaking about and what He is talking about. The question that everyone ought to ask themselves, do you belong to the spiritual kingdom? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Do you belong to that spiritual kingdom? Have you been born again? If not, you ought to be born again, and you can be tonight if you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe what the Bible says about Him, and ask Him to save your soul. You can be born again. Let's bow for prayer. We come now to our prayer and invitation time. And if you've asked yourself that question, do I belong to the spiritual kingdom? Am I born again? And you cannot honestly answer yes, I would invite you right now in the quietness of your heart. Say, Lord, I really would like to belong to the spiritual kingdom. I would like to be born again. I will believe what the Bible says, and I will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you've said that with me, or you would like to be born again tonight, would you raise your hand and let me know? Father in heaven, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that everyone here is saved, lest they be cast into that furnace of fire at the end of time. Lord, if someone is not saved, I pray that they might follow up by speaking to us before they leave the building tonight. And Lord, we pray that these things might be a benefit to us as we study the Word of God, that we might take them seriously and help us to be motivated to get the gospel out to those that are lost. We pray and we trust Thee now. In Jesus' name, amen.